The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, now it's time for our Friday Forum. I'm joined by Regina Doherty, Fine Gael MEP for Dublin, Richard Boyd-Barrett, TD for Dundee with People Before Profit, and Harry McGee, political correspondent with The Irish Times. Let's quickly talk Mercosur. Do you have a hard and fast view on Mercosur?
Yeah, People Before Profit have opposed it from the outset because we think that it is going to substantially undermine the livelihoods of small farmers. It's going to be damaging to the climate and biodiversity because it'll expand significantly beef production in those countries at the expense of the forests, of the rainforests.
Even though it probably will go through unless it's stopped on the floor of the parliament. Because today it's likely to be voted through, there will be no...
That's the way it seems. And, the Irish government belatedly, under massive pressure from, those who oppose it, particularly from farmers, have decided to vote against it. But they didn't really fight against it, in our view, in Europe, when it counted. And as a result, it looks as if it's going to go through. But it should be resisted on environmental grounds and grounds of defending the livelihoods of our farmers.
So, Regina Doherty, tell me what's your view and what will you be saying on the floor when it gets there?
So, first of all, I have to refute what Richard has just said, because it hasn't been belatedly that the government have engaged on the farmers' concerns. This has been going on for a number of years, not least of which since Martin Hayden took over as Minister for Agriculture for the last year. We are well aware what the farmers' issues are and the concerns are.
It was in the programme for government that this would be the stance finally taken by the government.
Well,
Why did it take so long for a declaration, if you like?
Because, to be fair, right up until the last minute, what we were trying to do was to agree terms that would actually appease the farmers' concerns and address them. And like, you don't decide 6 months before something is going to be, we'll pull out our hat now and it's fine. We tried up until the very, very last minute.
What would have appeased it?
I think reciprocity would have made a massive difference. And so a lot of the safeguards that have been won, but because of amendments, because of my colleagues, Maria Walsh, Barry Cowan, over the last number of weeks, have made what the safeguards are now more safe, reduced the 10% financial impact on livelihoods of farmers, which is a real concern for farmers, down to 5%.
If it's all really fundamentally about destroying rainforests,
what I need to refute, and not to be smart now here. Some of the things that people are concerned about now are in existence now. There are issues with food safety. There are issues, obviously, with the rainforest being pulled apart. This deal would actually put curbs on those things. And so it would put curbs on the ability of the rainforest to be continued to be depleted by the Brazilians. And we would ensure that that would actually be adhered to. The SBS checks that would be involved in all of the food products that would come from the Mercosur countries into the European Union would be adhered to. So all of the things that
we had these things, and yet the IFA were able to go out and to South America and find antibiotics readily available.
Pat, the IFA are a superb lobbying organisation. Hats off to them. If anybody ever wants anything,
are you saying they made it up?
No, but they have accentuated some of the issues to a level that has caused hysteria that isn't borne out by the evidence and isn't borne out by the people who actually provide the evidence, such as Chagas.
Harry McGee.
Yeah, well, it's a very wide trade deal, and some people might be under the wrong impression that it's all about beef and all about farming, but it includes everything, and it includes the export of European goods to South America. Car manufacturers, pharma in particular, have been lobbying for it. So there's a couple of issues that are so it's an ideological thing. I mean, if you're for free trade, as many EU states are, they're going to support it. And then those who have opposed it haven't really opposed it for ideological reasons. I think they've opposed it because they're trying to protect interests within their own country. And that includes Ireland in relation to farming.
Okay, but isn't there something terribly hypocritical?
There is.
There's the Taoiseach out in China talking about trade. We want to flog loads of stuff to you guys, including beef. Let's open up the Chinese market to beef. It had been closed to Irish beef. And then he's saying no to other people doing exactly the same.
Yeah, arguing hard against US tariffs and talking about free trade and open global economy, but then putting in caveats at the end. And the other thing is, I mean, that Micheál Martin did make comments in China during the course of the week that to use the Bertieism, upset the apple tart a little bit in terms of Ireland's stance on it. And I think that did create a mini crisis within the coalition during the weekend. I'm sure the opposition will be highlighting this when the oil returns later this month.
So, Richard, that business of we're all for free trade as long as we are the beneficiaries, but when we might have to suffer imports of stuff that we produce ourselves, and we do it with things like cheese. I mean, there's cheeses from all over the world on our shelves, and there's no one walking up and down with placards outside Aldi or Lidl.
Well, first of all, a bit careful about saying we're all for free trade. I'm for trade that's fair, right? That's sustainable, that doesn't involve the exploitation of people anywhere. So, for example, I would be concerned, and there is double standards from the government in my this regard. To what extent, for example, is Micheál Martin raising the authoritarian nature of the Chinese regime when the brutal suppression of any kind of political opposition in China by this dictatorial regime? I suspect not at all. I mean, wasn't it Enda Kenny who once said when he was out in the Gulf states, again, brutal authoritarian regimes, he said, oh, this isn't the appropriate time to raise human rights concerns because we're doing trade stuff, right? Now, I don't agree with that. I don't think we sort of ditch environmental concerns, concerns about workers' rights, concerns about democracy when we're negotiating trade deals. They should be central to any trade deals that are done. So we want to develop trade that's free, that's fair and sustainable, but it shouldn't be just profit-driven. And I think the big winners on Mercosur are the big multinationals, and the losers potentially are small farmers and the environment.
Bridget.
The very reason that Micheál Martin, our Taoiseach, is in China this week is because we need to diversify our markets in Ireland. Exactly the same is true for Europe, which is why Mercosur is so important to the Commission and to European countries. We find ourselves in a very weakened position with regard to our over-reliance on trade with the US, our over-reliance on provision of security from the US, and until we actually change the way we do business in Europe, well, then that doesn't make us stronger.
Back to the question I asked you, what are you going to be saying on the floor of the Parliament when it comes to the Parliament?
I have been very supportive of Mercosur over the year and a half that I've been in the Parliament, because I think it will be incredibly good, not just for Europe, but for Ireland, for all of the reasons that Harry has said. We have an amazing pharmaceutical business
on the floor when they call for a vote, which way are you going to go?
So I can't divorce myself, and so that's why I haven't 100% made up my mind. If you had asked me last week, I probably would have told you that, yes, I will be supporting Mercosur. I can't divorce myself from the fact that we are all representative politicians, and there are a large cohort of Irish people have told us that they don't want to support this. I caveat that I am a representative from Dublin, and I have to be honest with you, not one farmer from Dublin, and yes, there are farmers in Dublin, not one farmer from Dublin has contacted me, and I have an enormous amount of businesses and business representative groups telling me that we need this as a country.
But would you be whipped into line?
There isn't the same whip in the European Parliament as there is here. But what I am very conscious of, Pat, though, is that we can't keep going, you know, to the well of Europe and saying Ireland needs this, Ireland needs that, Ireland needs the other, and not play ball on some occasion. And I think we've reached a saturation point where we've gotten enormous support over many years over Brexit. We got the Nitrates Directive extended a number of months ago. At some point, the reciprocity of that collective bargaining that we have within the European project
but again,
has
the,
to be
the hypocrisy, and I know the real world is the real world and there are many contradictions in that real world, but the idea of continuing to bloat with the help of the Nitrates Directive extension and then criticising the South Americans for what they're doing.
Again, so there is the real politic. Did you have to look at the four countries that are potentially have already voted no this morning? And the reasons that they have voted no are not the reasons that are being stated. They're all domestic political issues. And I think that's the real politic here. We all get elected by people. People's concerns have to be addressed.
So do you think it's going to be passed in the Parliament?
I do, absolutely. Whether I vote yes or no, to be honest.
Harry?
I do think it will be passed. I think there are divisions within the parties. I think within Fianna Fáil, for example, Billy Kelleher is opposed to Mercosur, where Barry Andrews is very strongly in favour. And very vocal, and they will cast their votes accordingly. I mean, I don't want to have hormone-laden beef coming into Ireland. I don't want to be complicit in a situation where the Amazon, one of the world's last remaining rainforests, is being absolutely pilfered to quadruple beef production in Brazil. So there have to be limits to all of these things. You can have free trade to a certain extent, but you can't have a free for all. So they are right to insist on standards. But the thing is that when Ireland is exporting beef, other countries demand standards of Ireland in terms of the beef that we export. So I think that there are rules that could be designed to ensure that beef could be exported from Brazil that was produced in a sustainable way and also in a healthy way.
We'll move on. Richard Boyd Barrett, do you think that somewhere in some apartment or bedroom around the country, there's someone using Grok to undress you?
There may well be, but I mean, far more seriously than undressing me, which wouldn't be terribly pleasant for anybody concerned. There's a serious issue of you know, child sexual abuse, in the image of children, imagery of children being undressed by this technology, or people using this technology. And, you know, that's, it's pornography, it's child pornography. And it's very, very alarming. And obviously it's directed at women and children, or the, all, you know, women generally are the victims of this. And it is shocking that this is happening. And I think,
how do you control this?
Well, look, it's arguable. I won't say I'm an expert, but I was looking at some of the legislation, talking to people who are familiar with some of the existing legislation on the image-based sexual abuse legislation, the Child Trafficking and Pornography Act and so on. I think there is a case for saying we could send the police into X right now, and say we believe the stuff that you're enabling is in breach of our laws in terms of the lack of consent for imagery of children and women being
under
put
that
up.
Legislation, it doesn't seem to matter that the images might be totally fabricated. In other words, they are not based on any real person. They're based on some algorithm which builds the human body. It doesn't matter if it's deemed as child sexual abuse material. It's a crime.
Absolutely. And if there's a need to tighten up the legislation, which there probably was, because when the legislation was developed, obviously AI hadn't developed to the point it has now. But actually, I think there's a case the existing legislation would enable the state to send the police into X. And I think they should. I think we should tell X, stop enabling the production of this toxic, pornographic, child pornographic material.
I agree with Richard on two fronts. So first of all, there is an absolute criminal element to this, and I think each member state, including Ireland, has to take its own localised action on this. But actually, fundamentally, we have a law pan-European called the DSA, the Digital Services Act, that absolutely renders the actions of X illegal.
Now, X have changed their rules a bit. They say only paid subscribers.
That makes no difference. I'm sorry, it doesn't make any difference whether you pay it or whether it's free. It is illegal to create non-consensual images and share them on a platform. The problem I have with the European Union, and again, this comes back to the weak position we're in because of our over-reliance on trade and security from the US, is that we have a commission that's afraid to actually enforce laws that we already have that were nearly unanimously passed by the Parliament in 2024 for fear that it will be, you know, there'll be another backlash from a US government until we get our house in order. And all of this is all consequential of each other. We're not getting our house in order until we reduce our reliance on trade. Hence, Mercosur is hugely important to the Commission. But we are so weak if we cannot enforce the laws that we currently have in our statute books, which is not being done by the Commission. And actually, I'm very disappointed in Hannah Verkoonen. The report that she came out with yesterday was that she instructed X, rather than instigate a formal inquiry immediately, she instructed X to hold on to their documentation and all of their images for a year, and we'll be back to you.
Harry?
Yeah, I completely agree with what Richard has said. I mean, the tech companies seem to be acting with impunity, and there are all these, there are acts and legislation and rules and laws in Europe, and they seem to blithely ignore them all. I mean, it's actually redolent of what's happening.
I mean, what happens in a situation if someone was running a Shee Bean in rural part of Ireland, and the guards knew about it? They'd shut it down.
Of course it would, but a media organisation like ours, if we were involved in that kind of carry-on, we'd be hauled before the courts tomorrow, and we'd be prosecuted. And they should criminally prosecute those behind those companies that are facilitating such disgusting habits. And the Patrick O'Donovan, I think he's earnest in trying to limit...
Just to confirm what he said that it's the people who use the algorithm in this way who are responsible, rather than the people who provide the tool by which you can do it.
Yeah, but I think there should be some rule that covers the facilitation. I mean, it wouldn't happen
if
the likes of X weren't facilitating
but
it.
But the argument
is they should be held accountable.
That,
and,
you know, you can buy a hammer to hammer a nail or to beat someone over the head with a hammer. That's the argument they advance. So it's the way people use something.
Well, in fact, I think at least on a fair reading of some of the legislation, it is also clear that a body corporate that is enabling the production, facilitating the production of these, you know, pornographic, child pornographic images, these toxic, abusive images, is actually responsible. And they most certainly should be. If there's any legal doubt about it, the legislation needs to be amended quickly. But I think there is a strong case, as if the Irish Times did this, I think there would be action taken, right? So the soft peddling around Elon Musk and X and these big multinational, you know, and people should just think about this. Elon Musk, big pal of Donald Trump, you know, who go on attacking immigrants, blaming them for everything under the sun, are peddling child pornography. That's what they're doing.
These are,
right? And profiteering
I've
from child pornography.
These are evil people. Trump is evil. Musk is evil. Netanyahu is evil. And yet politicians seem impossible. They find it hard to say. These people are doing evil things.
Again, I think the real politic here is that when you're reliant on somebody, you can't kick them in the shin. So I don't know what that does or why it hasn't forced us to doubly fast make ourselves not reliant on these people. Like, I get, obviously, that nobody is afraid or everybody's afraid to upset Donald Trump because of the nature of the sensitive parts of the negotiations to try to end a war in Ukraine and Russia. I get that, right? But why aren't we peddling twice as fast to make sure that we are not reliant on them in the event of it ever happening again?
Moving over stateside, and we have a number of things. The United States of Avarice is what I'm now calling it, rather than the United States of America. They want Greenland. It's no new thing, as we heard earlier on the programme. They've wanted Greenland for a long, 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 long time. But now it's very overt. And we heard Stephen Miller saying, we'll take it by force if we have to. And then you have what happened in Venezuela. And on top of that, you had the activities of ICE in Minneapolis. I mean, America is a horrific place now. Regina?
Yes, I agree. And I think we're all standing back looking at it in disbelief, thinking, how is this actually happening? How are the normal, everyday people in America not losing their reason with what's going on? And yet, you listen to people from America and they actually applaud what he's doing and think he's strong and, you know, making America great again. I don't know whether they're seeing the same kind of footage that we're seeing. I don't know whether we're impartial and looking from outside of that bubble. But actually, I really feel like I'm living in a parallel world where we're watching things that in normal circumstances wouldn't be acceptable in any circumstances, and yet there's a multiplicity of them, and we're nearly waiting on that. We're waiting on them to, you know, to bomb Mexico for. And when he does take over Greenland, we'll all say, "Oh, we all saw that." Like, I really don't know what's going on, and I don't see any strength in response, not just either verbally
Richard.
Or actions planning
Richard.
To tackle him.
Yeah, I mean, I just can't believe the sort of pathetic nature of the response from our own government, from the European leaders, from the European Union. To acts of naked imperialism and then the murder, you know. I mean, so J.D. Vance on the killing in Minneapolis, just incredible. I mean, there's a video which clearly shows that this woman was effectively executed as she was driving away in fear, clearly in fear of these hooded ICE officers. And J.D. Vance tries to concoct a story to suggest that he was acting in self-defense. So this is literally saying black is white. And similarly, and then we have a president who is, you know, launches an attack on a sovereign state, whatever you may think about Maduro, right, launches an invasion of a sovereign state, has explicitly said that we are asserting the right to control our backyard, the whole of Latin America, sovereign countries, while simultaneously denouncing Putin for doing exactly the same thing. And Putin, of course, should be denounced. But the sort of the double standards are just absolutely shocking.
Yeah, they've been citing the Monroe Doctrine, which says that America has influence over that whole part of the globe. You quoted Stephen Miller on an interview with CNN. I mean, he gave essentially the philosophy of the Trump administration on foreign policy. He said, we live in a world, in the real world, that is governed by strength, that is governed by force, that is governed by power. These are the iron laws of the world since the beginning of time. I think what happened in Minnesota was disgusting. When you saw the protests yesterday, you saw the ICE agents. They're like a militia. They look like they've come off a Chinook helicopter in Afghanistan.
I found the media reporting in America, even channels like CNN, who are anti-Trump, very obviously, do their best to be fair. But Jake Tapper said, when Kristi Noem said what she said, that's a lie. When Trump said what he said, Jake Tapper said, that's a lie.
Yeah, the mayor of
Minnesota, and it's about time they started. Well, he was more colourful in his language in telling ICE to get out of town. Mm, yeah. But it's about time that they started to call him out.
Yep.
Absolutely call him out.
I think that America will invade Greenland or take over Greenland and nobody will say boo to them. I don't think the European Union has the wherewithal to support Denmark to oppose that.
But the problem is that we haven't got the wherewithal to support our own European Union, notwithstanding, obviously, that Greenland is part of Denmark, which is part of the EU. We can't defend Europe's borders
We have to leave it on that pessimistic note. Regina Doherty, Fine Gael MEP for Dublin, Richard Boyd Barrett, People Before Profit TD for Dunleary, and Harry McGee, political correspondent of the Irish Times. Don't forget, all our items from today are uploaded as podcasts, which you can listen to on the Go Loud app. Just search for The Pat Kenny Show.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.